So people say, well, Wayne, what do we do when we're going through problems? Should we just not talk about them? Oh, sure, you can. But you talk about your problems, always talk about them as changing. Can you remember that? As changing. My finances aren't that good right now, but that's changing. Yeah, I'm not feeling good today, but that's changing. I've had a little setback, but that's changing. Things aren't going quite the way I'd like it to, but that's changing. Do you understand? It gives you hope that God is still on the throne, and how many of you know God's not done with us yet?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. No matter what you're facing, God has a gift of joy that is available to you. It's a gift He desires to reveal to you as He walks with you through each and every season of life. In this message, Pastor Wayne will teach us to see life through the lens of this powerful gift. Here he is with a message entitled, The Gift of Joy.
There's this funny story of this guy that kept sleeping in church, and he's an old farmer, and the pastor is getting a little upset, so he thought he'd just do something to wake him up one day. So as he's fast asleep, everybody else is listening except this one farmer guy, and he's just snoring away. And so he said, everyone who wants to go to heaven, stand up. Said it kind of quietly. So everybody stood up except this one farmer. He's just out. And so he said, okay, you might sit down. So they all sat down. He walked right to that farmer. He looked at him and said, and everyone who wants to go to hell, stand up. And the guy just bolted right to his feet. And everyone's snickering as he's looking around. And he said, Pastor, farmer said, I don't know what we voted on, but it looks like just you and me are in favor of it. Today we're going to talk about the gift of joy. The gift of joy. You know, the scripture says something really interesting. It says in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy spirit. Take not a presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And then it says something. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Did you know the devil has no authority to steal your salvation? How many of you are glad for that? Yeah, your salvation is wrapped up not in what you do, but what he has done. Salvation is not spelled D-O, it's spelled D-O-N-E. Yeah. It's what he has done. So your salvation is wrapped up in his conquest, not yours. So the devil has no authority to steal your salvation. But you know what he does? He goes after the joy of your salvation, and you drop out on your own. See, he has no authority to steal your marriage, so he'll steal the joy of being married, and you'll drop out and disqualify yourself. He has no authority to steal your ministry, so he'll go after the joy of your ministry, and you'll disqualify yourself. Joy is a commodity that's very precious. It is a gift of God's grace. I want you to see that today. I want you to protect that gift. Now, I'm not talking about some giddy, flamboyant kind of, or a cavalier outlook on life where everything is a big joke. No, not at all. But the joy that we're going to talk about today is called the joy of the Lord. Not the joy of the world, the joy of the Lord. And there's two different ones, different kinds of joy. This one's the joy of the Lord. And it's given by his grace. I want you to see a couple of words with me. So first of all, there's the word charismatic. If someone is a charismatic kind of person, this person actually is someone who is gifted or is very outgoing and exuberant and buoyant. But this actually is, this means the gifts of grace. God gives each of us gifts in 1 Corinthians 14. And a charismatic person is someone who moves in the gifts of grace. Now, the word grace, watch this, is the word charis in the Greek. Charis is the word grace. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest anyone should boast. It's God's grace that gives us salvation. Now, I want you to see how important grace is. How many of you believe God's grace is really important? Yeah, now watch this. Here is the root word of grace. You know what it is? It's the Greek word char, C-H-A-R. And you know what that means? Interesting, isn't it? That if you understand God's grace, there's going to be a joy on your life. There's going to be a sense that you, again, it's not some ebullient frivolity. It is a fact that I am super confident that God has already won and we are going to be fine. Because I saw the end of the movie and it's a happy one. How many of you believe in the end Jesus will be on the throne and he'll reign supreme? Raise your hand. Yeah. Yep. And that's it. It's a joy that's so deep. You see, the world has a different definition, and sometimes we take the word and it's a wrong goal to shoot for, but we think that happiness is the same as joy, and it's not. It's very different. Happiness is determined by happenstances, happenings. So this word is like this. If the happening is good, you are happy. If something good happens, you are happy. If something not good happens, you are not happy. That's it. That's a Wayne Cudero dictionary. Yeah, it's determined by circumstances. But joy, listen, joy is independent of circumstances and happenings. It doesn't matter because I know he's on the throne and he's in charge and I'll be absolutely fine. Do you understand? That's that joy that Paul had when they threw him in prison. He said, I'll be fine. When something didn't go well, he said, I'll be fine. Why? Where'd he get that deep-seated joy? I know whom I've had, I have believed it, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me. And so we know that God is on the throne and he is unconquerable. He has no rival. He has no equal. There is a deep, deep set joy. Now, the devil's going to go after that as hard as he can. I had a guy in one of the churches that I was pastoring in Hilo, Hawaii. I was walking down the aisle to go up front and he grabbed me and he said, hey, pastor, I'd come here more often if you wouldn't try to be so funny. Just, you're not a comedian, man. You're a preacher. So I said, well, I hope I'm a preacher, but I like to laugh too once in a while. He said, well, this church can't be very deep if people are laughing. I said, well, sir, there's some churches right down the street that don't laugh. You can go and check that one out if you like. But if you're going to be here, we're going to laugh. He said, why? Why? This is church. I said, because when you laugh, you have your mouth open. When your mouth is open, I put something in it for you to chew on. And I said, it's a joy. I thought, that's the dumbest question. I mean, when in the world have we ever gotten the notion that in order to be a good Christian, it starts off by sucking on sour lemons every morning? That we think that if we can be somber and serious and with a frowned brow, then we're a better Christian than somebody else. But really, it's just a spirit of critique or criticism or I'm better than or let me tell you where you're going wrong. And that kind of legalistic spirit has to be completely extracted and gone so that we can have the joy of the Lord. James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your... Consider it all what? Joy, my brethren. Because you see, the joy of the Lord is independent of circumstances. It draws its strength from God, not from happenings. You see the difference? And if we want God to make us happy, we're shooting up the wrong or barking up the wrong tree. But if we say, Lord, we want the joy of God, it's huge, very different. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So today, we want to talk about joy. Now, as dumb as that question was, I have heard of other dumb questions, and I wanted to read some of them for you. And they're actually out of a court of law. These are questions that I think are the dumbest, but they come from some of the smartest people, attorneys. And but these are really dumb. So if you're an attorney, forgive me, I'm going to offend you. So here it is. So these are questions actually asked by attorneys. Now, this is written down in stenographers' logs. So these actually happened. So here it is. There's a doctor on the stand and someone had died. So here's the attorney. Attorney says this. Now, doctor, isn't it true that if a person dies in his sleep, he doesn't know about it until he awakes in the morning? Okay, yeah. Maybe he got resurrected. I don't know. Here's another one. Attorney says, was it you or your younger brother that was killed in the war? Let me ask him. Here's another one. He shows the plaintiff a picture. Were you present at this time when your picture was taken? Yeah, some of you are still asleep. Those are good. Attorney asks this lady, can you describe the person who accosted you? She said, yeah, he was medium height and had a beard. Attorney, was this a male or a female? Maybe she just needed waxing, I don't know. And here's the last one. Now, let me define this word. A fracas is a noisy brawl, okay, according to Webster. So the attorney says this, and this time is a plaintiff that has a dumb question, but a dumb answer. The attorney says, so you're saying that you were shot in the fracas? The plaintiff said, no, sir, I was shot in my thigh, just below my fracas. There are some that have dumb questions. But you know, as dumb as that question was that that man asked me, it made me to think, got me to thinking, the joy of the Lord is a gift that we need to protect because it's stolen so easily. And when it's stolen, we have joyless Christians. I think we have more joyless Christians running around than we need. Because we think that, oh, it's no big deal. There's no punishment. There's no penalty for joyless Christians. But the damage joyless Christians can do to the kingdom is enormous. We don't have like institutions that, you know, are for joy-impaired individuals. We should have a rehabilitation institute for joy-impaired people to get them closer to the edge of joy. That there's something far better than just my feelings right now, whether I like something or not. My faith has to be far deeper than that. And that's called the joy of the Lord. Let me tell you about an individual. His name is Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is going to repair the walls of Jerusalem. It's burnt and charred, broken down. People are discouraged. They're despondent. And they're distressed. And then you have these guys called Sanballat and Tobiah that's actually criticizing them, cynicizing them, debasing them, dehumanizing them. And now they're so discouraged. And right in the middle, Nehemiah comes and says, you know what? We're going to celebrate. And everybody says, I don't think so. Oh, yes, he says. And at the top of your notes, you're going to see what he has to say. So would you take out your notes and look right under the title, under Nehemiah, and it's on the board as well. But let's read exactly what he says. Would you read it? Go. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah, we've seen people that are really joyless. But he says the joy of the Lord is your what?
Strength.
Your strength. See, that's why the devil goes after your joy. Because if you are joyless, you are strengthless. You're vulnerable. You're susceptible to his temptations, his accusations, his blame. And so all of a sudden you think, oh, I'm such a bad person. Well, maybe it's because he stole your joy first. It made you susceptible. So anything that comes down the pike, you'll catch like a cold. And we have to protect that joy. And that's why in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Because if that's snatched, if that's pulled, if that's taken away, it leaves us extremely susceptible. How many of you know what I'm talking about when your joy is stolen like that? You've got to protect it. And it's not the joy of the world. It's the joy of the Lord. The world goes after happiness. God is saying, no, joy is independent of happenstances. Sometimes we live with the illusion that those two are interchangeable. Happiness, joy. No, they're not. They say, oh, I'll be happy when conditions change, when happenstances change. A student says, well, I'll be happy when I graduate. I'll be happy, Lord, when I get married. Someone else says, well, I'll be happy when children arrive. Wiser parents say, I'll be happy when they leave. But it's a strength, that joy, and it's not happiness, because remember, joy is independent. Matthew 25, verses 21 through 23, there's some servants that were supposed to invest some talents. And when they did, he talks about the joy that comes from the master, not from the world, but from the master. Each of them that did well, he gives the same answer. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Did you know that the Lord gives joy? How many of you would like the joy that God would give? Yeah, see, that's a gift. Comes strangely wrapped, but it's a gift. And you want to guard that, because that's the gem that the enemy will go after and try to steal. John 1:4 talks about the word of God that continues to reinforce that gift. And he says, we're writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. There is a completeness of joy that is unflappable. Even though you go through some stuff, some people say to me, Wayne, what if I'm going through some really hard stuff right now? Listen carefully. Where you are is not what you are. And where you are is not who you are. You see, the Lord gives you identity and the Lord gives you stability, not happenstances. So you can say, that's where I am, but that's not who I am. See, God has something greater. So people say, well, Wayne, what do we do when we're going through problems? Should we just not talk about them? Oh, sure, you can. But you talk about your problems, always talk about them as changing. Can you remember that? As changing. My finances aren't that good right now, but that's changing. Yeah, I'm not feeling good today, but that's changing. I've had a little setback, but that's changing. Things aren't going quite the way I'd like it to, but that's changing. Do you understand? It gives you hope that God is still on the throne, and how many of you know God's not done with us yet? Yeah, he's still in process with us. He's changing us from glory to glory, not glory to gory, but glory to glory. And if you say that's changing, you're giving your faith a chance, because he is the potter and you are the clay, and he's not done yet. So part of your faith is, should we just deny the problem we're going through? No, just number one, remember where you are isn't who you are. Number two, that's changing. God is the potter and I'm the clay. And he's still at work on me. So you always say it is changing. And my wife knows that. She said to me, honey, take out the garbage. I said, no, I don't want to. She said, that's changing. So let me give you three things that will help you to be a person of joy. And the first is a question, and it needs to be answered with one word. Yes. Here it is. First question is, do you believe that Jesus is already victorious? Yeah, it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter who they choose to be a leader. In the end, God is sovereign, and he's already won. Every problem that you will face is already solved. Well, I got a financial problem. I don't know what to do. Oh, it's already solved. What? Yeah, you see, God already knows the solution. He just hasn't told you yet. Really? That's absolutely right, because he cares for us as a shepherd with the sheep. So if I've got a problem, I mean, think about it. How many problems have you transitioned through when in the midst of it you thought everything was done? But you know, one of the names of Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. You know what that means? When you think it's the end, he says, it's just starting. I'm done. No, I ain't. I'm just starting, God says. But it's the end. Oh, yeah. See, the thing is, I'm the end and the beginning. I decide what's the end, not you. And you let him decide, so then you can say it's changing. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed. And Jesus is the victorious one. Doesn't matter what I see. He's already victorious. Have you ever seen people when they win, they know they've won, they're like, there's so much grace on their life. Let's say basketball players, they won like a championship or whatever, and someone goes, yeah, we won. Yeah, but I missed that shot. They say, it's all right, we won. Yeah, but I should have passed. When I didn't pass, I'm so sorry. Don't stop. Forgiven. We won. It was so illustrated to me on the Big Island of Hawaii. I used to play club soccer, and we won throughout the season, except against this Mexican team that was so good. These guys could like flip over and kick the ball over their heads, and they're just amazing. And so we were coming to the finale, and whoever would win this game would get the trophy, champion of the year. And we wanted it really badly, but we were so afraid because we had to play the Mexicans. Well, the day came, and we're in our uniform, and we're warming up and thinking, oh, man, we're going to get killed. We're roadkill. We're done. You know, this is finished. And so here comes a Mexican team in the van. One guy comes out. Oh, he's a captain. Two guys come out. Three guys, four, five, six. And then that's it. Now, you need 11. So only six show up. And the captain came over to me. I'm the captain of our team. And he said, excuse me, we don't have enough players. I said, oh, that's too bad. Poor thing. And he said, yeah, I know. Maybe some will come. I said, okay. And so we go back to practicing, and I'm praying, Lord, let them not come. Let them not come. And so the referee finally blows his whistle at the top of the hour and says, you know, you guys, if you don't have, we'll give you 15 minutes, and we'll defer. And if you don't have players, then you have to forfeit. So, man, I really went to prayer then. I started fasting and praying, Lord, Lord, let it be, let it be. Well, 15 minutes goes by, and they don't have enough players. No more show up. And so he blows the whistle. The referee calls us together and says, well, you'll have to forfeit, Mexican team, and Wayne, your team is the winner. I go, whoa, you mean we won? Yep. I mean, like, no, the championship, yep, the trophy is yours because they had to forfeit, so by default, you won the game. Yes, I said. And then the Mexican captain says, well, since you guys already won, why don't we just kind of split up and play a practice game? I said, well, wait a minute. We won, though. We win, like we're champions. Uh-huh. We get the trophy. Uh-huh. I said to the referee, could I see the trophy, please? So he brings a trophy. I said, can I take it and put it in my car? Because we won, right? The referee said, yes, you won. I said, great. We'll play a practice game because we won. And you know, I was so amazed because we're not playing catch up. We're not thinking we're behind. We don't think we have to win because we already did. We already won. I have to tell you, in that practice game, I played really good. I mean, I was so loose and confident. Man, I think I even made one of those shots. But it was just amazing. You see, when you know that you've won and you're not playing catch up, everything changes, doesn't it? When someone does something wrong, it's all right. We won. When you miss a goal, it's all right. We win. And that's the kind of joy. That's the joy of the Lord. Do you understand? It's not a frivolous giddiness. It is a deep-seated confidence that we're okay. I promise you, we're okay. We're all right. So it doesn't matter what happens in the world, what happens in our country right now. We know that in the end, Jesus is on the throne. We're not behind. We're not playing catch-up. We're not biting our nails. Let's read this next scripture here. Would you read it with me nice and loudly? If you keep my commandments, you will remain in, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in His love. Watch this. I have told you this so that joy may be in you and that, yeah, when you receive God's joy, your joy becomes complete. If you take in the world's happiness, your joy will never be complete because we'll be praying for the wrong things and we're worrying about the wrong things. And the Lord says, if you will look at my word and take my joy, then your joy, something will happen to it. And there will be a deep-seated confidence. We're going to keep that gift of joy and we're going to keep it close to our heart. We're going to practice it and we'll watch what God will do through it. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. In the darkness I'll dance, in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength.
You've been listening to a message entitled The Gift of Joy by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a joyful day as you walk hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ.